Art and Soul. An audio column about anime, religion, and ethics. Brought to you by Michael Huang, because seminarians will always find an excuse to preach. Issue 5, I Will Never Forgive You. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. From the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18. I remember, very early in my anime fandom, being struck by how often characters would often proclaim loudly and boldly, I will never forgive you. It is often voiced as a threat. If you do X, I will never forgive you. Or often it is simply a statement of fact. I'd estimate that at least 60% of all the anime I've watched has contained this phrase, which I suspect, though I don't know for sure, is being translated very literally from the Japanese. Think about the literal meaning of those words in English for a second, though. They're very serious, considering how casually they're tossed off. It means that there's no possibility of reconciliation whatsoever, that a grudge will be held against that person for the rest of their lives, and possibly eternity. Is that the full force of what this phrase really means? Is it so easy in Japanese to lose someone's good graces and commit an unforgivable act? I suspect, actually, it doesn't quite mean what a face value reading suggests. From what I can tell, it really seems more like, I will never excuse you for what you did, or I will not simply let go of this as if it never happened, or as if it were simply okay, some minor thing. There's a terrible, terrible modern saying that to understand is to forgive all, and I suspect it is this meaning of forgiveness that the Japanese dialogue is trying to counter. This is, of course, despite the fact that many animes indulge in that saying all the time when they show villains whose actions are magically made more sympathetic because of a tough childhood. So if that is the case, though, then the phrase really isn't so bad after all. In fact, it can be good. Real forgiveness and real reconciliation has to begin with a full acknowledgement of how serious and damaging the wrongful act was. Some things really are inexcusable and unforgivable by nature and deserve condemnation. You cannot comprehend or even be genuinely forgiven until you realize what it is, how much it cost to be forgiven. Jesus says just this in the parable that follows Peter's question. He tells a very simple, evocative story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, basically an unpayable debt, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay you back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a day's wages, 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. In this parable, the unmerciful servant basically had no appreciation of how much he had been forgiven. To have no appreciation in this case is to have a lack of love and an unmerciful attitude that spread to his relationships with others. We see this all the time, of course, all over human culture, because forgiveness for wrongs done is really unnatural. Peter thought he was being exceedingly generous when he proposed 7 times for forgiveness. The law only required 3 times after all, so he was suggesting something more than twice as much as the law required. The point in this parable, though, is that if one claims to be part of the kingdom of God, part of Jesus' people, you got in because you are forgiven for an enormous debt and at great cost, the life of Jesus himself. To not realize that is to, in essence, deny it, because if you really did realize that, you would be very different. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he does not see, as the Apostle John put it. Jesus ends the parable with a very sober warning. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. In anime, as in life, there is often a cycle of retribution. One person hits another, the other hits back. When Jesus suggested turning the other cheek, this was wildly different from anything anybody had ever heard or done, even in the Old Testament. When anime says then, I will never forgive you, it is reflecting the normal state of affairs for human beings. And there is enough true-to-life experience behind that to understand why. Real disputes and offenses cannot be resolved by a wave of a hand or a mere token of the words, I forgive you. Think about how in South Africa, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission brought the torturers, murderers, and jailers of apartheid forward to confess, face-to-face, their crimes. They needed to acknowledge that what they had done was wrong and horrible, in front of the very families and friends that they had done it to. Then, and only then, was the often surprising response from those who had been hurt, I forgive you, actually meaningful. Only when this coming to acknowledge that yes, in ordinary terms, what they had actually done was indeed unforgivable, could real forgiveness even begin to happen. I happen to believe that the power to forgive those kinds of crimes does not, cannot come from human beings alone. But it is that power which, perhaps more than anything else, helped prevent South Africa from going into all-out civil war, something many commentators had felt was inevitable. Because that is, after all, the all-too-common alternative. A world without real forgiveness and reconciliation is a world of war and destruction. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught asks God to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. It was that important that Christians recite this basic plank of ethics every time they pray. It's probably there because even Christians have to be reminded of this over and over again, because I will never forgive you comes more naturally even to Christian lips. The good news, though, is that great forgiveness is available to everyone. It is there for the taking, if only the eyes to see it are there. Jesus also said once, "The one who is forgiven much loves much." To realize that one is forgiven is to be able also to love, greatly. A love not limited to those we happen to like, but a love that is able to say, even when it's really, really hard, even if it's to our enemies, I do forgive you. This is Art and Soul issue number 5, I Will Never Forgive You. Brought to you by Michael Huang, because seminarians will always find an excuse to preach. Tune in next time for the next installment. Thank you.